Amen. Thank you. Let's take your Bibles tonight and let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to ask you by sections in a few moments to turn to some other scriptures. Let's also put a marker, and I'll put a marker in myself over here, and we'll go secondly to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah and chapter 5. You have it? 1 Peter chapter 3 and Jeremiah chapter 5. And then one more right now. Let's put a marker in the book of James, James chapter 5. You might use, well, I use this bookmark that says faithful. And so let's go to James and chapter 5 and put a marker there as well. Wednesday night is more of a Bible study, and I don't mind, and in fact encourage, when I see you writing some notes in your Bible. Really, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'm trying to preach to God's people. I want your eyes and attention, but we sort of treat this like a class tonight. And I want so badly to move the heart of God on the behalf of my family and behalf of my marriage, behalf of the ministry God's entrusted to me, on behalf of the great people of North Valley Baptist Church. I would like God to be able to say, I'm going to bless that man because he loves me. And I want the overflow to run down on your life. I want your kids to have the overflow. Don't look at that as arrogant at all. I want that for you. I want people to say, the safest place for me, the safest place for my children is, Larry Brown, under the spout where the glory comes out. I like it where we can say, God's doing something. And I'll tell you, I've always sensed it. God is so good. I looked at that, and that's the first time I've mentioned it since it happened, that large, generous gift that we were given about a month ago. And I look at that gift, and I said, I was talking to the Lord. I was telling this to, I think, the business manager. We were praying together yesterday. I began to look. I'm wondering, and I'm not going to say this is the answer because this is not the right answer, but I began to say, Lord, is it because we put $1 million in new buses and the bus ministry last year, and you paid us back with that large gift and the many large gifts we've had in the last 6 months for the work of God? You folks that are getting all excited that we're rich, we're still $8 million in debt. We were 16.5, so don't start breathing easy yet. I'm keeping the pressure on big time. And I'm looking at these million-dollar buildings around here too, so, you know, slow down here, folks. We've not arrived yet. But I was praying. I said, Lord, was it because we gave $1 million that you gave it back? And then I said, or was it because we invested in 350 churches and a pastor's salary for 1 year and then built them a building in the Philippines, and 16 of those churches now have institutes training 30 and 40 men in their institutes, and 4 of them have Bible colleges? And is it because of that? And then I got praying, and I said, Lord, maybe is it because we just picked up these 10 new stations around the nation that reach a potential of 10 million more people on the AM dial in Kansas City and Alexandria and in Richmond, Virginia, on and on? Or Lord, is it because our church is putting $100,000 to $150,000 a year in a Christian school? Or is it, God, because the investment this church makes in a Bible college? Or is it because of the investment we make in live streaming that now, nearly in the last 6 months, 1 million people have watched the service? And I thought, and we have to pay for every song we sing? And so if we sing a song that's in copyright and the congregational singing, we have to pay for that song. And our radio pays 24 hours a day for every song that we play that's copyrighted. A percentage. Every song. Our Lord, And by the way, that live stream, we got word several tens of thousands of dollars later that Rush Limbaugh and his wife watched and blessed us as well. And I began to give all these scenarios. And in a sense, and I don't mean this to be prideful, it takes the glory away from God and puts it on our works. And I believe God does bless. You sow, you reap. Yeah, that's Bible. That's in there somewhere, like Galatians chapter 6. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We sow to the flesh, we reap to the flesh. But you know, it's just right now, for some reason, in these 42 years in the Silicon Valley, some reason God has opened the spout and allowed us to have a Christian school that's produced about 160 now full-time Christian workers, and at least 100 some adults in this church that have graduated from there that are business people now, sing in the choir and teach the Sunday school and drive the buses. I wonder why God did it, but I do know this, that God in his word allows us to move his heart. We got to see our 5 grandkids last week in Los Angeles area. It was such a blessing, and praying every day for their lives, and we want to be what we could be for them and encourage them. And I tell you what, the little one, we had, they have, she's going to, the oldest is going to be 16 and the youngest is 3, and the little 3-year-old is, she's just like her grandmother, her Nana, stubborn. She's in the children's program, I can say that. She is one of those that's the hard to get. And I kind of like those kind. You know, these, after, I just sort of ignore her. She'll come up and hug me, and I just ignore her. Next thing I know, she'll say, Papa, will you color with me? Oh, I guess so. Oh, yes. And I color. And then we'll play Play-Doh. The wonderful thing about being a papa is that everything I've been wanting to do for years since my kids grew up, I can go back and do again. I love coloring and playing with Play-Doh, and I don't even mind playing with dolls with her just to be with her. Well, that might go a little bit far. And she said, now, 3-year-old, I've never seen anybody color. She colors better than I. She stays in the line and outlines everything beautifully. She's the opposite of Ashlyn. Ashlyn's a bull in a china closet. This little girl is just a little lady. We were playing with Play-Doh, and she said, now, Papa, don't mix the colors. I made a Christmas tree out of a little, smashed it on there, and I said, but it has to have bulbs. It needs different color. Use the same color. Emphatic. And so we use the same color. You know, those little kids, all 13 of our grandkids, it doesn't take much. One of our grandkids came up to me and said, now, Papa, would you like to buy a case of chocolate? The answer is no. I have no reason for chocolate. And I should not eat it, and I don't want it. No, I don't want a case of chocolate. And I said to them, you know what? I was hoping you'd ask. And then came the second and the third, and they all said, how about a case of chocolate, Papa? I bought it. I bought it down there in Southern California because they have the candy sale. I'm not going to, don't even send it to me. Here's the money. He said, well, you're wasting the money. We tithe. Well, you pay me. I get paid for doing this. You won't believe that. I had a girl, I'm going to get to the bottom. Had a girl years ago, 40 years ago. She said, what are you, bus girl, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm the pastor of the church. I know you're the pastor, but what do you do for a living? What do you do for a job? I said, well, I'm the pastor of the church. No. She was so frustrated. Where do you get up in the morning and go and you work and you get a paycheck? I go to the church. And they pay you for that? It took me 40 years to tell you that illustration because I don't want you to think that, man, that's all he does and we pay him for that. But I want my grandkids, I want my wife to have the freedom to move my heart. And I know you're that way. I know it's true. If my wife wants something, if I can, I'm going to meet that need. We've had a long marriage together, 45 years. And any time, God could cut that off. Now, I don't want to look back with regrets that I could have. And God wants to meet your need. God wants to take care of you, and God's interested in you. And so we saw in our first lesson, what moves the heart of God? We saw tears move the heart of God. In Isaiah 38, remember we saw that Hezekiah, you're going to die. And he went to prayer. And God says, I've seen thy tears. And God said, I'm going to add 15 years. He said, well, I'm not a crier. Well, learn to become one. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. How can you not look at the condition of our churches in America and be burdened? Another church today throughout old time religion. I get it's wearisome. I'm thinking, what are you thinking about? You are not going to save a nation with compromise. And sometimes you feel like, is there anybody still sound that believes in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and King James Bible and men dress alike men and ladies dress alike ladies and preaching the word and invitations and soul winning and knocking on doors? And does anybody believe that way? And they say 7,000 haven't bowed the knee, but sometimes I don't think there's four left. And I know there's a lot more than that. Jeremiah wept over his people. He just wept over his people. He was so burdened for his people. The book of Lamentations, his lamenting, weeping before God. How can we not see the condition of our country and our churches not be burdened? I don't know very much about this Facebook stuff, but my wife will go through on a Sunday night. She'll read me what's happening in the churches. It's kind of a great day for us to end the day. And this one preached, and this one sang, and this one did this. But it's also with that mix, very discouraging. Son, how could have you done that? Sir, how could have you been so true to God all these years, and then all of a sudden you're saying this? God says, I saw your tears. The second thing, because tears are a language God understands. The second thing he said, your prayers. I've seen your tears, I've seen your prayers. And we remember last time we looked together that Mark chapter 9, verse 29, the disciples could not heal that man. And the scripture said, Brother and Mrs. Nijoka, did I say hello to you? Okay, I did. I thought I did. And the scriptures said that we couldn't heal them, but this kind cometh about by prayer and fasting. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know that 50-point book, vision book? That just didn't show up last November. That's been on a prayer list. I've called into my prayer journal the miraculous kind. I didn't give you all that's on the journal. I think it may perhaps scared you and frightened you. There's more than what we have there. That just takes us up to the 50th year of the church. But isn't it amazing that God's heart is moved with prayer? I can't explain it. I was reading a preacher, I believe he's home with the Lord now, but I was reading something about him several days ago, and I saw that he said in prayer, when I was pastor, we prayed for this lady, and we prayed for this lady. Both were very sick, nigh to death at the same time, and God raised up this one, and God took this one. I can't explain that, but I do know that prayer moves the heart of God. And tonight, I find the third ingredient. Ingredient one is what? Ingredient two is? Ingredient three, it moves God's heart. And mothers, I hope you're going to listen right quickly right now. Dads, I hope you're not trying to raise a family with this absent in your life. But from the scripture, we'll see tonight that righteousness moves the heart of God. This was born, this thought in my heart about 6 months ago. And I've preached a message since then on that subject, very similar to this, but it'd be a different Bible study. And I want to live such a righteous life. And yet I know, oh wretched man, that I am. Don't you find sometimes you just get weary with yourself? That how in the world could I be so weak, or so this, or so that? How can I have such fear in my heart when, God, you've done so many great things? How can I be so indifferent? How can I miss that soul winning opportunity? And if we're not careful, we think, well, everything's fine with me. I'm okay with me. I find the closer you get to the light, the more God reveals that, oh, wretched man that I am. And tonight we have you in three places to start. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Down, because this is what God's eyes are doing right now. Verse 12, ready, begin. For the eyes of the Lord. Did I get you in the right place? Let's try it again. 1 Peter 3, 12. Maybe I didn't tell you 12. Are you ready now? 1 Peter 3, 12. Ready, begin. For the eyes of the Lord. Now, there's the word evil and the word is righteous. God is for which one? And what is the evil man? What's God's relationship to that man? He's against him. So the goal, if I want to move the heart of God, I cannot be evil. I must be righteous. The root word for righteous is right. I have to be, I must be right before God. Let's take our Bibles, go back there to Jeremiah. We have a marker there in Jeremiah chapter 5. God's eyes are over the righteous. Look what he says in Jeremiah 5:25. I want to have the men tonight read verse 25. Men, in fact, I just looking here in my note, I didn't remember I had written this here. Jack, live right so others can be blessed. Verse 25. Men, boy, all men are here tonight. Men, will you read it? Ready? Begin. Your iniquities. You see, God says, I'm going to withhold some things because you're not righteous. You're not living right. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Ladies, I wonder if you could read this for us. James 5:16. Ready? Are you there? Begin. Confess your faults. You see, those terms, factual and fervent, they're like twin sisters. Those words are very similar. Effectual simply means very powerful, with energy. And fervent, a fervent flame. Fervent means a strain, an effort. It's intense. It's earnest. Is this, and I'm not making light of any prayer, is this intense? Thank you, God, for the day. Thank you for the food. Amen. That's not intense. But when a person is intense, if you've ever prayed, I mean, where it's intense, I've dug the ditches over there at the other property. We dug all those footings. And we worked for 2 years, 104 weeks. Every day of my life, I put blue jeans on. And every day I was out there digging and working. We had tractors going and we're putting rebar down. And I think we had one day, we had over 700 yards of concrete. And we have so much concrete there. And the men of the church did it. My old office, it used to go the floor like this. Because about 5 o'clock on a Wednesday night before church, we had poured too much concrete. And by the time we got to that area, it was already hardening up, and we just had to leave it. And then we put some leveler in there later and tried to get it as level as possible. And I ran home and showered, and 7 o'clock was service then, and we came back and I had a Wednesday night Bible study. And I've done that, but I'm going to tell you something. Prayer is a lot harder and a lot more difficult than digging a ditch. Because it puts every bit of your fiber in you. It puts your intensity of your inside. When a man preaches, when a man prays, he'll sometimes tense up, or a woman might tense up. And if you could see what little muscles I have, you'd see right now in prayer, oh dear God. And I can feel it in my neck, and I can feel it in my hands, I can feel it in my arms, and I'm praying, oh dear God, I'm pouring out my heart before you tonight. That's what effectual fervent means. And perhaps you've never been to a point that something was so straining on your heart. I strain more in prayer today for our adult children than I ever have. I strain for them. I strain for our grandkids. There used to be a point where all three of our families, four of us, we lived within four blocks. I'd come home on a nighttime and bicycles were lined up in the driveway. The grandkids were there. And nine of them moved away. One family's in Arizona and one in Southern California. One moved over to San Jose. There's not been a bike in our driveway for a long time now. And I don't have the ability to touch, but I have the ability to pray. And oh, I pray for those kids. And we pray every night for the salvation of those five little grandkids that yet do not know the Lord as Savior. And I pray for these kids as they're growing that they might be influenced in paths of righteousness. We don't have any ability to do it now. But God does. And tonight we find that righteousness, I must live right. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous. So you have to answer the question, are you righteous? Am I righteous? Or is there anger? You can go through the ABCs, our bitterness, our carnality, our deceit, or is there fear? Is there gossip? Is there hatred? Is there ill will? Is there greed? Sometimes some people will throw away all of their Christianity for greed. I've just got to have more. I've just got to have this. I won't be, a man said years ago, he was really growing in grace. His family was growing. And he said, I've just got to work for 1 year every Sunday, for 1 year. And it's going to put us in a spot to buy a home. And 1 year, I'll be back at church. And 1 year later, he was divorced. It would have been better to live in an apartment and keep his life together and live righteous before God. We can go on with the letters of the alphabet. You can put them all in. I wonder if this section right here, here and here, would you look up for us tonight, Proverbs 15:29. Proverbs 15:29. This section, would you read, if you will, Psalm 34:15. I wonder if this middle section up in the balcony as well, you figure out what section you're in, this one here all the way up, Proverbs 10:24. Proverbs 10:24. This section right here, if you turn to Matthew 5:6, and this section over here to Proverbs 14:34. God will hear the prayer of a righteous. My need is not necessarily just bring a petition. My need is to bring a pure, clean, righteous, holy heart before a holy God. And I want to. Oh, I tell you, I want to be in such a spirit of prayer that those kids in the youth group tonight can truly have a teenage revival. I want to live that way. I want to live in the way that so our college students can have the blessings of God, the widows and the widowers in our church, and the bus ministry, and so on it goes. Proverbs, and I want you to read it loud. I don't have it with me. I do if I turn there. But would you read Proverbs 15, this section here, right here? Proverbs 15, 29. Listen, read it loud so over here they can hear it. Are you ready? Write it down. Proverbs 15, 29. Ready? Begin. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the... God hears your prayer. God hears it. This section right here, Psalm 34, 15. Listen to what God's word says. Psalm 34, 15, as we begin with the eyes of the Lord. Ready? Begin. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their eyes. You see, here's what I'm going to do. God's eyes are open to the righteous. Well, I tell you what, I know some things about Nikolai. I know some things about old brother Jose over here. I know some things about you. And if we're not careful, we're trying to manage everyone else's, every other person's life. I can't manage everyone's life. I don't say this out of disrespect for my dear wife, who's to me the best Christian I know. I mean, an incredible lady. She goes home from work before me, and I get home, and she always has her Bible. She's in an area reading her Bible with her journal and her prayer journal. We go to bed at night before prayer. I'm always seeing her with a Bible open. I'm so honored to live in her presence. But, sir, if we're not careful, we want to do everything to correct our mate. And quite frankly, I'm living with someone that I feel like is so more important and better in a Christian life than I am. And I want to be right. That I have enough to say grace over in keeping Jack Treber right before God. Doesn't mean I don't have people, pages of backslidden people I'm praying for. I'm brokenhearted. But it does mean that the first one, two, three, in a notebook, in my notebook, four pages, is all about the life of Jack Treber. And the first thing before I ever pray for being a husband and a father, a grandfather, and a pastor, I pray that Jack Treber would be a man of God. And I take every letter of the alphabet, A, I have several A's, and it's just not wrote. I look at A, I don't want to have anxiety. A man of God should not live in anxiety and anger, and I have all those A's, and I think about them, pray over them. I've got enough to say grace over. I'm worn out when I get done with Jack Treber. Can't even think about Hans Nikolai when I do. I'm thinking, what a man of God. Been faithful to God all these years. Brother Jose, what a great man of God. And so God's looking for Jack to be righteous. This section right here, you're in Proverbs 10, 24, where it says the fear of the wicked. Are you ready? Begin, please. The fear of the wicked. Here it is. God says the desire of the righteous. What do I have to do? I must be righteous. This section, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, verse 6. Are you ready? Begin. Blessed. I want to be filled. How do I get filled? Not just with the Holy Spirit, but filled with the blessings of God, filled with answered prayer. Blessed are the righteous. God says, you're righteous, Jack, I'll fill you. I'll overflow it. Because of my blessings, because if you live a righteous life, others will be blessed. I believe that's a Bible truth when you read Moses' life and Abraham's life and Joshua's life and Elijah's life and Elijah's life and the men of God and the life of our Lord, that God blessed them so their lives might bless others. This section right here, would you read for us in closing tonight, Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs 14:34. Are we ready? Begin. Righteousness. 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 America, we don't need any more sanctuary cities. We don't need any. They're illegal. No law against guns will ever do anything. What we need is some Christians of the 200 something million that claim to be Christians in this country. I'd like to find out where they are. They're not in my neighborhood. They're not going to church. No traffic jam getting out of our area. And I live probably in the neighborhood with more church members to North Valley Baptist Church, and they're on their way here. God says righteousness exalts a nation. Sin's a reproach. God cannot bless sin. My Bible says in Jude in verse 14 and 15 that he said, I cannot bless the ungodly. Says it four times in one verse about the ungodly. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1. God says, I'll bless you, is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's why I never read compromisers. I don't read them. I study. I don't care. I don't care. This guy's got 10,000 people in his church. Yes, but he's a compromiser. I'm not going to read him. I don't have any desire to read it. I want to read about righteousness. I like what Roloff said. He was 68, Brother Roloff, when he died. And he said, the older I get, I told you recently, I've thrown away most of my library and I just read one book. And I have the world's best library that for me I've worked on for all these years. I bought those books through the years. I bought them in college and I bought them as a young man, so many used and secondhand. I filled a great library, and I live in that study of mine. I live there. All the walls are lined floor to ceiling. Many of you men built that out for me several years ago, that beautiful office area where I study the Word of God, where I pray back there. I can have revival back there in that study. Now I find out those books are so great, but the one that has life is not a commentary. This book is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And what this book does, it reveals who I am. It reveals not Kenny Dane back there and his precious wife. Your boy was so handsome in school this morning. Just talked to me over there, lost a tooth, so fired up. I don't know, Grandma and Grandpa, if you know, that's up to $20 a tooth now. I hope you're coming through with good money, cheapskates. But you know, I read about what God desires in my life. I find out that, Lord, I go battle this all the time. Lord, why would you be so good to me in giving me people like this? I'm not looking to all those rebels. Look at this on a Wednesday night up on the balcony, the lower floor, adults only in here, coming from work, perhaps coming from airports or trains or coming from a commuter train or commuter lane or the traffic. Most of you have not been home. I don't know how I could ever say, well, you people are, and rip your faces off. You pray for me. I need to get my heart just examined all the time. God, help me. I was preaching revival, and I told you this a few weeks back. I was preaching revival Saturday through a Wednesday, which is rare. It's the only meeting I ever take. For Brother Bobby Robertson. And I'll never forget it several years, many years ago now. He came forward and he was weeping. He just told his church down at that Lord's table. He sent the invitation. I've been praying for revival. And I thought, well, we all do. You know, I thank God he's praying. He said, for me, for Bobby Robertson. And then he said this, oh, Bobby Robertson needs revival. And I thought, if a Bobby Robertson needs revival, there's no hope for me. The man finished his journey. His ministry and his life exited together at the same time. What a man of God. You pray for me. Because I believe if I can live so right before God, your little family and your widowhood could experience the blessings of God. Because God is looking for righteous people. Our Father, what a joy it is to think that we can move the heart of an almighty God, and righteousness does it. Let's stand together, shall we, with our heads bowed. Let's use this altar tonight.